This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Cricket on the BetRivers Network.
Welcome back to the BetRivers Cricket Show. I'm Ed Hawkins, pro cricket picker. Great to have you with us again. We can't move for winners on this cricket show. And with the man who's been doing lots of the hard yards to find those winners, he's an ex-odds maker. Here he is. It's John Wright. How are you doing, John?
Not too bad, Ed. Thank you.
Good. Now, show two, we brought winners in the form of David Warner, top Australia bat, Shai Hope, top West Indies bat. And we've got three big games on episode three, haven't we, John? Tell them what we can expect.
Yeah, well, we've got the second test match between England and New Zealand at Trent Bridge. England have won the first test match in Lords. I'll probably talk about that in a minute, Ed. Probably a little bit luckily. So that'll be interesting. And then we've got the second ODI between Pakistan and the West Indies. The first game was played yesterday. Pakistan won that game, chasing 306 quite easily in very, very hot conditions. And the third match is the third of the 2020 series between Sri Lanka and Australia. Australia have won the first two matches. This is the last one before they start the ODIs. Change of venue here. They move inland to just outside Kandy, Pelekela. So that'll be interesting. Australia tend to, when they've already won the series, tend to sort of like rest a few players, so it'd be interesting to see what they do, Ed.
Yeah, we have to be wise to that, don't we, John? Yeah. Let's start with England v New Zealand then. We've got a venue at Trent Bridge. BetRivers money line for you is plus 105 England, plus 188 New Zealand, and the draw plus 350. I suspect, John, we've got both a strong feeling for New Zealand in this one. And that's probably because of the Trent Bridge pitch. Why is it going to be so important for pickers for this one?
Trent Bridge. Trent Bridge usually quite a flat pitch. Average score there, first innings test score is around about 300. It's probably been about 290 this year in first class cricket with knots. England's record there is not particularly good. They didn't lose a test match last year, but they should have done it. The game against India, when India were chasing, I think, about 200 on the last day to beat England, they were cruising along about 50 for one, weren't they? And then the last day was washed out. So England would have got beat at Trent Bridge. I think the pitch will definitely suit the seam bowlers. New Zealand, both sides played a spinner in the first test match. I can't see that happening at Trent Bridge purely because they weren't really, really effective. I mean, Ijaz Patel bowled two overs. Obviously, Jack Leach was injured, and Matt Parkinson come on as a concussion replacement. He didn't do much either. So I expect both sides to go with seam attacks. And looking at the New Zealand seam attack, I actually think it's got a lot more depth. To be fair, Ed, I think, you know, the fact they're going to probably bring in Neil Wagner and possibly Matt Henry to replace Colin de Gronholm, who was injured, I think that's a good thing. I think the balance of the New Zealand time will be, New Zealand side would be a lot better. And also, I think they'll come on for the run. I mean, I think they were caught cold in that first innings against England when they were bowled out for 130. And I think New Zealand will get better. And the difference between the two sides is that their Premier League batsmen with England, the premier batsman is obviously Joe Root. Joe Root got them out of the pickle in the first test match. New Zealand's top batsman at the moment, Kane Williamson, is bang out of form. And I don't think that'll last for a long time, Ed.
Yeah, I tend to agree on Williamson. I think we mentioned this on show two, how important it was for New Zealand to get game time before playing this Red Ball series against England, because a lot of their players are come from white ball cricket, and we were explaining the difference between the two types of game, and you really need a sort of long warm-up process when you're switching from one to the other, and they didn't have that. And the first test, basically, everybody, that served as New Zealand's warm-up. So far from ideal, and we don't agree with it, but they're going to be much better for the run, as John said. A market which caught my eye was BetRivers under or over on the opening partnership for both teams in the first innings. That basically means there's a bet on how many runs England or New Zealand, when they're batting first, will score for the first wicket, so that before they lose their first wicket. And BetRivers go England at 25.5 runs and New Zealand 26.5. Now you can go over or under that. I suspect that whoever bats first, that's the team that bats first at Trent Bridge on Friday morning, let's go under that quote, because it's going to be dicey for the batters, and all four of the opening batsmen for either team have issues at the moment, particularly when the ball is moving around. Any picks on top bat or top bowler for you, John?
No, I just concur what you just said there, Ed. With England, I mean, the Lees and Crawley at the top of the order look very, very scratchy. I mean, I know they put 59 on for the first wicket in the first innings at Lords, but I mean, they could have been out on numerous occasions. Pope and Bairstow look woefully out of form. And again, it was down to Root and to Stokes particularly, and Ben Folkes with shepherding Root in that second innings to get England over the line. So looking at the odds now, and I know on the previous show, Ed, we said that Joe Root was no value. I think he was like plus 260. Yeah. I think plus at the moment here for this particular match, he's plus 300. So plus 200. I actually thought that was fair, because he seems to, now he hasn't got the captaincy, he looked sort of like he's the burden of captaincy was off his shoulders. He's a class batsman. He's one of the best batsmen in the world, as we know, Ed. 2600s and 10,000 runs, test runs. But he's all mannerisms, even his interview after the game, he looked sort of like so buoyant. So I would stick with the favourite. I would go with Root for top England batsman at plus 200.
Okay, great. That's in the first innings, guys, remember. I'll mention Kane Williamson, but we're looking for plus 300. We might not get it on the New Zealand top bat money line. If it is plus 300, that would be out of line how often he wins on that line in our favour. So that's the price you need to take if you can get it on Williamson. Also keep in mind Carl Jameson, from sort of plus 4,000. It's a big number, but he's probably underrated. He's a very good player, and he's going to be one of the best all-round players in the world, we think, in the next few months. Failing that, Jameson for top New Zealand bowler from plus 300, please. Again, it's a price which would be out of line how often he wins. Any more wisdom from you, John, before we move on to our second game?
No, I concur with what you just said there. I think New Zealand will bring in Henry Nicholls to bolster up their batting. The New Zealand batting looks to have a lot more depth than England's. It was proven in that first test, and with Daryl Mitchell and Tom Blundell putting on 195 for the sixth wicket there, or sorry, the fifth wicket in the second innings. I think England haven't got that depth. So, my lean will be towards New Zealand for this test match.
Okay, great stuff. Remember, everyone, our best picks come at the end of the show, so stick with us. Let's move on to game two now. We've got Pakistan versus West Indies in a 50-over a side game. We previewed that first match and gave you a winner, don't forget, on Shai Hope, top run scorer of West Indies. Moneyline is like to have Pak at minus 225, West Indies plus 175. Pakistan won by 5 wickets in game one at Multan, chasing a healthy 306 to win. It's at Multan again. What's your view, John? Multan pitch looks flat, and the weather, as you said, is, you know, it's fiercely hot.
Yes, I watched that game yesterday, Ed. West Indies won the toss. Nicholas Baran batted. Obviously, he wanted to protect his bowlers in that 40-degree heat. West Indies got 300, which is a fairly competitive score, but it was very, very apparent in the second innings that 300 was, they were going to get it quite easily. Pakistan, as we said, very strong at the top of the order, but effectively it was their middle order that got them over the line. I mean, Shah coming in there and hitting those 360s on the bounce really sort of like won the game for them. So, yeah, as I say, I think it's a difficult one for West Indies, especially with these pace bowlers. in these conditions. It's going to be the same. Obviously, Moultown is a venue for these three ODIs. So it's a difficult one because I can understand why Nicholas Perham batted when he won the toss. But it's a difficult one because the bowlers, you know, with the day-night game, if you want to be bowling, you'd really want to be bowling second, really. So it's interesting. But as I say, Pakistan looked by far the better side. And again, like in the first match, Ed, probably looking at derivatives like we did, like we successfully did in the first game, batsman match bets and probably top batsman for West Indies, where a couple of the players like Shai Hope, possibly Shomar Brooks, you know, score a high percentage of their runs, Ed, as you said in the first show. So, yeah, I wouldn't. The only thing that would stop me from betting them is that West Indies might rotate due to that heat. I mean, Hope's batted, what, for 40-odd overs there in that heat. The game's come thick and fast, so they could rotate. But West Indies haven't got that depth to rotate with the batting. So I suspect with the batting, they'll probably stick with the same lineup. It'll be the bowlers that they maybe rotate.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Imam Ul Haq again. Mentioned him in the last preview for this game. He didn't do the business, unfortunately, but he did score 50. We're keeping fingers crossed for plus 300. Babar Azam did take honours for top run scorer on that line. Now, because Babar is such a popular player and such a famous player, we're hoping he's going to be taking up a bigger chunk of the book. So we might get a bit more on Imam. I mean, do we go back in on Shai Hope, John? I mean, I have a tendency to swerve once I've had one winner or a guy like that. I don't follow him in immediately in the next game, even if the price is wrong, even if the money line is wrong. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, I will probably look to stick with him, Ed, to be honest with you. But okay. As I say, the one thing that puts me off is the heat and the conditions he would have batted in yesterday in that 40-degree heat in Moultown in the first innings. So it might have taken a lot out of him. Again, as we said in the first show, Shomar Brooks and Shai Hope score a high percentage of their runs. And I'd be looking to probably them, maybe even King, to be top back out of those three. I mean, Nicholas Perham, I know he got 21 yesterday, captain, seems to be, yeah, as I said before, his runs in international cricket don't go in unison with his dominance in franchise cricket, especially in 2020. So, I'd probably look to stick with him. Stick with Shai Hope and Shomar Brooks would be my two picks of West Indian batsmen for the second one.
Okay. Great. Well, that's worth pointing out. It's also worth pointing out that because it's such a good batting wicket, we think, that your top run scorer bet has a very strong relationship with the man of the match line. Now, by that, I mean that your top run scorer, that is enough often to win them the man of the match. So it could be that top run scorer and man of the match is the same pick. So Imam Ul Haq might be plus 300 the top Pakistan bat, but if he wins, you're possibly looking at a winner at plus 1,000 for the man of the match as well. So you could go that way if you want bigger prices for your money. So just transverse top run scorer to your man of the match. So you're getting better value there. Any other players to follow for you, John?
No, the only thing I would say is, again, what I said in the first show, the left-arm spinner, Hussain, for West Indies, if you actually look at his stats, since he came into white ball cricket, he's been the most effective spin bowler in international white ball cricket. Takes a hell of a lot of wickets, bowls very economical. He's a bit unlucky yesterday, bowled 10 overs, one for 50. Azhari Joseph got two wickets, so he'd have been beaten in that market. But out of the two West Indian spinners, Walsh bowled terribly yesterday. Hussain was by far the most dominant spinner. Again, with these West Indian bowlers in this particular heat toiling, I would tend to go with a spinner. So if there's any markets that come up for top West Indian bowler in the second one, I'd be looking at Hussain. He probably will be favourite around about, I don't know, plus 250, plus 275, but I think he's worthy favourite, to be honest with you, Ed.
Okay, great. Best picks still to come, everybody. Let's move on to our third and final game. Sri Lanka versus Australia from Palakkelly on Saturday. Disappointing betting heat, I'm afraid, this one. So we're going to have to work hard to try and find some value. There's going to be some big minuses on Australia for this one. They're 2-0 up in the series and they've been pretty comfortable. They thrashed them by 10 wickets in the first game and then they beat them by 3 wickets in the second. That sounds closer than it was. They did have a bit of a wobble, Australia. But basically, the problem is Sri Lanka can't score runs. And it's not going to help that the Palakkelly pitch has been tricky for the batters. In the last 10 T20s played there, more than 160 in the first innings has been busted only 4 times. Now, that's important because around the world in T20, the scores are going up. And really, there should be a higher proportion of more than 160s being scored. So it suggests it's a tricky wicket. Now, does that hurt Sri Lanka again, John?
I think it does. I mean, Australia have won the toss in the first 2 games, Ed, and they chose to bat, chose to chase. I mean, this particular pitch, Palakkelly, as you say, I think there's been 22 T20s there. I think the average score, as you say, is around about 160. Australia, again, they tend to, when they've won already one series, they tend to rotate, give people games. I can probably see them maybe resting a couple of the top order batsmen, maybe Warner, yeah. maybe Finch might even rest himself. So I see a few changes. It'll be interesting. I mean, Australia, as you say, should really win. Sri Lanka's problem is they don't score enough runs, really. And as I say, you know, getting 130 and 120 as they did in the first 2 games is never going to cut the mustard. And Australia are going to knock them off quite easily, even if in the second one they got that wobble. And as you say, they lost 7 wickets. But it's interesting because Australia have scored a big score here. I mean, I was looking at the stats last night and Australia 5 years ago scored 280 on this ground.
Oh, wow.
In a 2020 game, and Glenn Maxwell got 145. So I that's what I'll be looking at. I'll be looking at probably Glenn Maxwell maybe being the value in this particular one for top Australia batsmen. But as I say, a lot of Australian sport, as we know, when it becomes the series becomes over, they tend to rotate. I think it's the Australian way. So I'd definitely be looking at team news here, Ed. I expect Australia to win.
Okay. For top run scorer lines, could well be worth picking big numbers for the Sri Lankans because that batting of theirs is so weak. The pitch isn't good, as we've said. We've mentioned Wanindo Hasaranga before. I'll throw in Dasun Shanaka and Chamika Karunaratne. They're lower order players, decent players, but they may only need 30, late 30s, early 40s to win this money line for us. And we're taking big numbers in the thousands, plus 1,000, some really big numbers, particularly the last 2, Dasun Shanaka and Karunaratne. What about Sri Lanka players to follow for you, John, or is it just too much of a minefield?
Yeah, too much of a minefield. I mean, I thought what was interesting in that first one, Ed, when they started, I think they were 35 for no wicket after 4 overs and they totally collapsed, as you say. I think Rajapaksa was coming in a bit too late, coming in at 5. Again, as I said in the second show, Hasaranga would be my bit of value. I mean, he'll probably bat 6 or 7. Goes for his shots, you know, plays in the IPL and, as you say, wouldn't have to score a lot of runs to win it. So, I mean, I think the top order Sri Lanka batsmen are probably too short. And when you've got something where, you know, a quick 30 or quick 35 could actually win that market, I tend to go with the players with the bigger numbers. And as I say, any double digits with Hasaranga, that's what I would play.
Okay, let's just go back to that mention about Australia rotating their team. I think that lets in us for a possible pick on Josh Inglis. If they rest Warner or they rest Finch, now those are the 2 Australia openers. Inglis is going to play and he's going to open the batting. And I'm not sure the Bet Rivers money line prices are going to work it out. So we may be able to get plus 400 on Josh Inglis. And he's going to be opening the batting. And I think that would be good value. Any other business, John, before we say goodbye and pick our top two picks each?
No, not at all, really. I think we've covered everything. As I say, going back to the test match, I think England, you know, maybe as you said in the first show we did, Ed, maybe a lower England batsman like a Craig Overton. I've seen prices for him around about, you know, 4,000. You know, if he plays, it goes back to what you just said there about Josh English. They're either going to be non-runners or they're going to be value, aren't they? So if Craig Overton is actually in the side on Friday for that second test at Trent Bridge, he will bat eight. But batting eight for England, when you've got, you know, players like Pope, Bairstow, Crawley, Lees, all effectively out of form, hasn't got a lot to beat. And to say a quick 30 or 40 in a low-scoring game, and I think these two sides, I can't see either of these two sides scoring like 500 or 600. I just don't think they've got it in them. You'd have to be real flat decks to that, especially in England. So I think all the test matches in England are going to be, you know, you'd be a hard person to pick the draw. I think they're going to be result games. So someone like an Overton coming in at number eight, getting a quick 30 or 40 and winning that market at 4,000 to me is a big price and a lot of value.
Okay, good. Great stuff. Important point John's made there. We talk about these top run scorer lines and these top wicket taker lines. If your player that you've picked doesn't play, then he's a non-runner. So you get your money back. Yep. So don't worry about that. Before we pick our picks, just a reminder, do give us a subscription or a follow on the Bet Rivers YouTube channel. Likewise, on the podcast of your choice. John, do you want to go first with your two top picks?
Well, my first one's very easy. New Zealand, you know, the price they are, the fact that they're outsiders for this game, you know, I think 188, I think it is. Is it 188, Ed? I think that's... Yeah. I think if you actually look at the first batch, New Zealand were flung favourites for a lot of that game. It was just one over or three balls that basically cost them the game. So I think, as you said, Ed, they'll get better. And I think that'll be my main bet. New Zealand to win the second test at Trent Bridge, 188 plus 188, that's the value. And then my other bet would be to stick with Shai Hope in the second ODI between Pakistan and West Indies. I'd look top West Indian batsman, Shai Hope. Again, probably 275, Ed, round about that. I think probably they might make it a little bit shorter. I'd still go with him. So Shai Hope would be my second bet, plus 250, 275, top West Indian bat in that second match.
Okay, terrific stuff. I'm going to pick Imam Ul Haq for man of the match for Pakistan versus West Indies in that second ODI, keeping fingers crossed for at least plus 1,000. And I'm going to throw in Josh Inglis, top Australia bat in that third T20 between Sri Lanka and Australia, hoping for plus 400. That about does it for your Bet Rivers cricket show. Join us again next time. In the meantime, give John a follow on Twitter at JohnWright15 and me at Cricket Betting. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Cricket on the Bet Rivers Network.